two fathers that would run their home the same way. So the things that I share today, I don't have a patent on them, or don't feel like that it's the only way. Here's the patent right here. And we draw from the scriptures, and we learn from the scriptures. And that's my prayer today, that the message today would inspire fathers. I have titled the message today, Fathers of Faith. And one of the reasons I picked that title is as I remember so vividly when we had seven little ones around our table, and some not so little, some were bigger, and some were small, and some of the struggles, some of the times of teaching and training and inspiring, encouraging, trying to help our family to live for God and be godly people. I just remember at times feeling a bit overwhelmed, and at times of feeling inadequate, very many times feeling inadequate. And there was even times I actually would even doubt some of God's word, that does it work? And I, as I look back, and I had to repent, and I had to realize that, yes, God's word does work. It's just that I wasn't following it like I should have. And my children have been very patient with me and forgiven me for all those things. And so I want to encourage our fathers today, our men today, to be fathers of faith. Faith and believing that the Word of God means what it says, and it does work. And if we follow God's way, and it's a blessing, it really is. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. And again, I wanted to use the Heavenly Father as our example. I was challenged with that, or was actually I was blessed with that. You know, we have our Heavenly Father, and we as fathers are to display, or we're to portray the Heavenly Father. And it's a God-sized task. It's a task that's bigger than we are. And yet, as fathers, we're to portray the Heavenly Father. And so as I thought about that and I looked into the scriptures, I was looking for a scripture that could help bring out this point. And I've got 4 points here in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 through 18. I picked up four areas here that I'd like to talk about how as human fathers today, how we're supposed to portray the Heavenly Father. And you pray that will come through clear. Verse 16 of chapter 6, you might say, well, is this a Father's Day scripture? Let's look. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I'll have to be honest with you, there's one more thing that's kind of thrusting behind this message, and I'm okay with it, but I'm realizing that I'm nearing the end toward the end of our my administration and ministry here, and I feel a unction from within that I want to make sure it comes across clear. So I maybe be pretty straight today with how I share today, and you be gracious with me, please. But there's a sense of urgency about this message that I pray that God would inspire us. And thank you, Marcus, for your message this morning. I very, very fitting, ring the groundwork for the message right now. Fathers, we have we talk about Mother's Day. We had mothers are very important and very special, have a very important part, very influential in our families, and we really appreciate our sisters and our mothers. But today, I guess I'm kind of we're focusing on the fathers today, and the call for the father and the importance of being a father, and the leadership and the responsibility, the accountability that goes with fatherhood. I hope today that you're here today. You recognize and realize your responsibility, our accountability as fathers. and how it's not something we can just hope it goes away, hope it works out all right, or just take a chance at it. You know, God give us one time to raise our families and go through the process of teaching and training and being a father to our children. And so today I would just love to inspire you, encourage you, and bless you in your work. And if you're, whatever stage you're in, I hope you're excited about being a father and excited about your children and excited about teaching your children. I hope you're excited about that. There's 4 points here that I'd like to look at here in this portion here. One is, number one, is unreserved adoption, my sons and daughters. Here, you know, in this portion it says, I will be their God, they shall be my people, they will be my sons and daughters. And I just want you to think about how God, the Heavenly Father, claims us, those who are adopted into His family, claims us as His sons and His daughters. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Heavenly Father here gives clear direction about what's right and what's wrong. He says, don't be partaker with devils and the idols, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There's a clear distinction between what's right and what's wrong, and God gives those clear directions. And that's point number two. Point number three is God's unfailing promises to us as fathers. I will be a father unto you. Christ as a heavenly father, or God as a heavenly father, has unfailing promises. Promises that we can believe on, we can build on, we can claim. And point number four is I will dwell in them and walk in them. Thank you, Steve, for that song this morning, second song we sang this morning about we are nothing without God. We need God. I think Robert preached about that last Sunday, our need of God. And as fathers, the task that lies before us, if we're trying to do it on our own without God, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. And as a father, we should constantly sense that urgency, and I need God to help me be a father that I should be. And you may be here this morning and look back and you realize some of the things, failures that you failed as a father, and you are paining about that. I'm sorry for that, and I can bear that pain with you. Many times I failed. Let's look at that point number one, an unreserved adoption. We had the blessing this week of being with Mark and Luke at the Creation Museum, and just look going to the thing of children. It was amazing to me that at conception that our children have 100% of their DNA. They are formed as our offspring and carry a mixture of our likeness and personality. This child is ours. It's a part of us. It's a part of our flesh and blood. It's a part of us. These children are the children that God graciously gives to us, and they're gifts from God. These children that God blesses us with are a gift from God, and how that they are a part of mother and part of father, and there's a mixture there, and the combination that's there, and their personality and their character, or their not their character, but their what their likes, dislikes, and the color of their hair, the color of their skin, the color of their eyes. You know, it's all there. It's part of us. And I'd like for us to, as we think about that, that the children that God gives us as fathers, now the rest of you can listen to, all if you're not a father here, listen to, but I'm gearing especially think of fathers today. We are responsible for the physical, spiritual, and relational of this child, needs of this child. And I feel like it's very important that children feel like they are a part of the family. They're not just another child, but they are part of the whole, and they're your child, and they're a part of the family. I think it's important that we help instill in them and teach them that they are part of us, and that we love them, and we care about who they are, not what they are, who they are. We're first of all responsible for their physical welfare, nursing and taking care of their diapers and feeding them and making sure they have a healthy healthy atmosphere to live in. But also we're responsible for their spiritual welfare. But just another thought on the thing of being a part of, and I don't want to overemphasize this point, and yet I feel like it is a very vital point that our children feel like they are a part of the family. They're our child. And there's something about a sense of belonging that's very, very important. And you can read stories and stories of children in school that are being bullied and they're insecure and they're trying to find their place in life and they're very insecure. A child needs to feel like they are a part of the family and they're loved and they're cared for. Our Heavenly Father, when Jesus came, Jesus was in the water there and John baptized him and as Jesus was there in the water, the Heavenly Father looked down from the sky or from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now why did God have to say that? Jesus knew he was the Son of God, but the Heavenly Father publicly told everyone that was there watching that, he's my son, my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with him. I think our children need to hear that. Our children need to hear that from fathers and mothers. You are my daughter, you are my son, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. I'm glad you're my child. I think our children need to hear that. Because within them, as they're growing up, they have this thing of who am I? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And there's a lot of insecurity that can be there. And when we assure them and talk to them, and I think more than once we need to tell them that. Insecurity is an enemy to their character. Now, I don't know how you are this morning, what your experience was. I was number 15, and I knew I was my dad and mom, mother and dad loved me a lot. But I somehow dealt with insecurity. What is insecurity? Insecurity is anxiety. It's fear. It's self-doubt. Lack of dependability. Lack of certainty. Lack of safety. Vulnerable. That's what insecurity is. When a child is insecure, they go through some of those things. And the thing that I want you to bring out to you that I'm learning as I continue to grow older, insecurity brings vulnerability. When we're insecure, we're more vulnerable. What does that mean? We're more susceptible to other things and wrong things because we're looking for something to meet that security. And sometimes if we don't find it, when we don't find it in God and in our family, we find it in drugs and parties and many other things and maybe in books and stuff. And we're constantly trying to feel that need within us, that insecurity within us, and we fill it with wrong things, peer pressure. So as fathers, please take the time to assure your children that you love them, they're your son, your daughter, and you care about them. Now, that's not the only thing that we need to do. We live in a world today that says, just love, 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 and everything will turn out all right. But love, we need to do more than just love. When we love our child, we will do more than just love. Point number two is to give clear, positive direction for our lives, for their lives. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4, 1 through 7. And I'm going to talk a little bit about giving clear direction to our children as fathers. Fathers, we are responsible for that in the home. And I know we say, well, mom's there most of the time. I'm at work. Mom should do most of this. But I as fathers, we're ultimately responsible for this. Proverbs 4, 1 through 7. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my word and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. These are things that it's important that fathers impart to their sons and their daughters. And it's not an automatic thing. It's something that we, as fathers, just like the Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah 53 and was trying to understand that portion. Philip started right there and went, took him further. And as fathers, it's important that we, when our children have needs and they need to be taught, find out where they're at, what position, what part of the journey are they at, and start right where they're at and take them further. And spend time in teaching and praying and sharing with them and helping them to understand what lies ahead of them. And I was blessed there. Ken Ham would be the founder of our engagement. They talked a lot about his parents, how his parents were very, very influential in teaching Ken and inspiring Ken to do what he did. And I thought about that, fathers, it's not just about how you turn out, but it's how your children turn out and how your grandchildren turn out. You know, and I was just inspired by that. And I thought, well, I desire that for my family. I want my sons and daughters. I want them to love the Lord and serve God. I want my grandchildren to serve the Lord and follow God. And it's an ongoing. It's not just about me. It's about my children. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians says, we are the temple of God. 2 Corinthians 6, go back to our theme again here. We're the temple of God and a place where God dwells, wants to dwell through the Holy Spirit. So if God wants to dwell in the lives of our children, then it's important that as we give them clear direction and teach them how to be a vessel, we want to prepare that vessel for God. Now, when a child is young and is growing up, that child knows about God and hears you talk about God, but really doesn't understand God. And as that child grows up, and their understanding and their wisdom gets deeper and deeper, we teach them, prepare that vessel for that, because someday we want God to dwell in their heart like he's dwelling in our heart. But it's important as parents, as fathers, that we teach our children, we prepare our children for that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's important to build godly character so that the temple is a fit place for God to dwell in. And it was brought out there, and it was interesting to me how that the ages 1 to 10 are such very, very vital, important age. Now, other ages are important too, but age 1 to 10 is when children are very, very, they feel like mom and dad can do no wrong. They look up to them, and they're their heroes, they're their protectors, they're their providers. And most of the time, they'll believe whatever they say, most of the times, not always. So it's a prime, beautiful opportunity for parents to instill and to teach and to inspire them to do what's right. If you allow me to use the board again this morning, I feel like this is how our Heavenly Father is. I believe the Heavenly Father has clear lines of what is right and what is wrong. Whatever is right is within the circle here. Whatever is wrong is without the circle. And the Scriptures gives us guidelines where those lines are at. And it's important as fathers. Again, I'm not saying the mothers don't have a responsibility in this. They do. But as fathers, it's our responsibility to know our children know where this line is at. They need to know what's right and what's wrong. We're living in a time where there's so many gray areas. You know, it may not be right, but it may not be wrong either. So it's kind of in between. And whenever you have those gray areas, it always causes confusion, and it causes uncertainty, it causes lack of stability. But when there's clear lines of what's right and wrong, it makes the children much more free, and it makes the home much more free. Simple things like talking back. When a child talks back to his mother, is that in the right or is that in the wrong? I think most of us would say that's in the wrong. So if it is, what do we do about it? Let's take care of it. Let's not let that happen in our homes. delayed obedience. Is that in the right or is that in the wrong? We tell our child to do something and they don't do it right away. And I had one of our family members, I think I may have told you this before, that she would count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, and at number 5 is when the child would do it. And I said, what's going on here? It's okay to disobey at 1, 2, 3, 4, but at 5 it's wrong. To me, those are gray areas. Let's be careful. Let's bless our children and give them clear lines. Help them understand and also teach them a healthy respect for authority. That's where it's important to teach our children. I think that ages 1 to 10 is a beautiful opportunity for that. It's teaching our children to respect authority. Respect your Sunday school teacher, their ministers, the church, and you as father and mother. There's a healthy respect there for, and we as children, we as fathers, are responsible to oversee this child training in our home. Not that our mothers don't have a part to play. Another thing I think as fathers, it's important for us to set an example of submission to your authority. If you want them to listen to you and you want them to obey you and respect you and have a clear line here, I think it's important that you set that example yourself. That you never speak disrespectfully of those who are over you in authority. And that you do your part in helping your family stay within the church brotherhood agreements. I think it's important that you're responsible as fathers to do that. One of the things I did do this time, I normally don't do this, I text quite a few fathers and asked them for advice. And here's one of the advice that one brother gave me. Was deal with disobedience as soon as possible so there's a proper connection between the offense and the discipline. And when a child disobeys, when a child does something wrong, they're out here, they're uncomfortable, they're guilty, they're condemned. And the longer we let them out there, the harder they get. But the sooner we deal with that and take care of it in a proper way, they can be on the right side again, they can be free, they can be happy again. And it's important that we deal with things as soon as possible. Another one was, don't let your hobby or an addiction or the desire for wealth cause you to neglect the needs of your children. That's something that can easily happen. We might be hunting or fishing or we might like whatever it is. We might like work. And we love to work. And so we enjoy working. And it's our way to relieve tension, relieve pressure. And get away from the household. One father said that if he stays in the house too long, he gets, the children get on his nerves, so he has to go out and do something. Is that the answer? I think he needs to stay there and take care of what's causing that problem. And again, fathers of faith, God's word works. We don't have to have tension there. There don't have to be pressures there that are not healthy, not godly. Another thing that was brought in was involve your children in your work schedule, your recreational time. Do things with them. And I loved them. My boys were old enough to help drive the lawnmower or to son, can you give me a hammer? Give me the saw. It was just a blessing to take your children, involve them, and help them be a part of what you're doing. And remember fathers, that when you take your boys out fishing for the first time, did you catch any fish? No. Did you untangle 100 lines? Yes. But that's okay. You do things with them and teach them how to fish. Teach them how to untangle the line and throw the line out. And all those things are just beautiful opportunities as fathers to connect with your children. I don't know if you can help make dresses and baby dolls or not. I'm sure with all the sisters in mind there. But there's things you can do. I had only one daughter and I enjoyed our time together. Again, that's as follows, just remember that discipline, disobedience separates relationships. Firm, kind discipline builds character and healthy relationships. Sometimes as fathers, and this is why I'm titled Fathers of Faith, sometimes we feel like if I discipline, we'll lose our relationships. If I don't discipline, that's not from God. That is not from God. That's from the wrong side. The right side is we need to discipline in order to build relationships. Again, it's in a kind, proper, right way. In our work schedule, this is something that I had to really work with. Be patient with their production. You didn't start out perfect either. In time when our sons or our daughters are helping us and they don't do it as quite as good as we would like to see it done, we get impatient, we may get a little upset. No, that's not the way you do it. We may get criticized. Let's remember, the first time we did that project, when we were their age, we didn't do it right either. My dad had patience with me. So let's be careful, fathers, that we have patience with our children. Allow them to learn. Allow them to make mistakes. Allow them to mess something up. I had one child that drove a hay spear right into the shed. Knocked a big old hole in the shed, in the door. Well, that wasn't the right thing to do, but we forgave them and we fixed the door and it was okay. You know, that was the last time they did it. But, you know, there's time that they will make mistakes. Let's not get upset. I get angry. That's forgive. Teaching by example is probably the best way in teaching. But sometimes I think we think, well, as long as I do right myself, I'm okay. I've seen where just those, the fathers maybe have a beautiful example where they somehow failed to get it across to their children. Something was missing. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Fathers of faith. It takes faith to believe that line upon line, precept upon precept, again and again and again and again. That's what fathers are doing. That's why Genesis talks about that the father or the man is a stronger vessel, is a stronger, and the Bible talks about the man as being the stronger vessel in the home. And as fathers, let's be that strong vessel. Let's not give up. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not be overwhelmed. Let's be fathers of faith. Teaching your children how to serve others by serving others yourself. Be the good to work project, helping your neighbor, going the second mile. Those are things that as your children watch you do, observe you doing, are a tremendous method of teaching to them. You didn't just tell them to go the second mile, you went the second mile. And they watched how you did it and watched your attitude. And they saw the light in their neighbor's eyes as they, you came to help me? They saw that. And that does something for our children. It plants within them a desire that they want to follow in your steps. Teaching our children to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. Do our children know that we seek God first? One more thing on teaching here in clear lines is teaching our children a proper respect for Sundays. No buying and selling, a day of rest, of fellowship and worship. Also, teaching our children that church attendance is important. I feel like it's something that I feel like we're failing in. Somehow it's not getting across, and we need to, our actions speak louder than our words. So if we don't go to church and we don't do this, we buy and sell on Sunday, it's saying something. What is it saying? Is it something we want, because our children are watching us, they're observing, and they're not going to stop where we stopped. That's point number three. I need to keep moving. Unfailing promises. Psalm 112, 1 and 2. Psalm 112, 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now listen to this. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. If we want our children to be blessed. We want our children to grow up to be mighty soldiers of Jesus Christ and to know right and wrong and to follow God. Let me read again. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The individual, the father himself must fear the Lord and be close to God. That delighteth greatly in his commandments. One who loves God and loves obeying God. That's his own personal testimony now. Then it says, his seed, his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. There's more caught than taught. Let's look at that. Take our children and tell them about Abraham, how he offered Isaac. And again, that was a step in faith. You know, Abraham, when he went to get his son, go up to Mount to offer his son, it's like it didn't make a bit of sense. It just did not seem like that's what God would want him to do, but God said it and he did it. David, you know, when he picked up, he saw that big old high Goliath there and he had a little slingshot. But it wasn't David, it was his faith in God. He knew God wanted to destroy the evil, and he wanted to be a servant of God. He was willing, in faith, to do the impossible. Daniel, when he was told not to pray, Daniel knew that God wanted him to pray, so he prayed. And many times, fathers, we have to step out in faith. It may seem like we're losing the battle. It seems like we're going the wrong direction. That our children are not responding like they should, and we're doing something wrong. Maybe we are. But let's, in faith, be obedient to what the Word of God says. There's four different types of fathers. One is a proactive father. One who teaches and trains and thinks out ahead. Then there is a reactive father. One who is, because of lack of teaching, his child does something, he reacts. It just doesn't work. Try something else. Then there is a non-active father, which is a passive father. And I'm very, very concerned about those fathers who are passive. It'll all go away. They'll grow up. Their children, let them make their own choices. We hope they turn out all right. I hope at least some of them make it. Then there is the explosive father. The one who just throws it all out. A couple things here quickly here on unfailing promises. I feel like it's so important. This is the burden on my heart here, is that fathers, it's important that we teach children how to deal with difficult circumstances. It may be a fire, burn our house down. It may be fire that burned our truck up, or it may be whatever. There's about six points I'd like to bring out real quick here. First of all, when we look at the circumstances, again, our children are watching how we deal with difficulties, because believe it or not, they're going to find difficulties later on. Look squarely. Is it true or imagined? Is it a real difficulty, or is this an imagined difficulty? Sometimes our imagination can get the best of us. Then we look at number two. Let's look at our attitude. How do we feel about this situation, circumstance? What is our attitude towards it? Do we resent it? Are we just, so God's being mean to us? Everybody's being mean to us? We're just being picked on? What's our attitude? Again, you can't hide it. Children are very intelligent. They see your attitude right through your glasses. Number three. Get your children, especially they're old enough, pray about it. Here's what it is. Let's pray about it. How God wants us to handle this situation? And then look at, what are our options? How, you know, do we give into it, or do we go along with it, or buy a new truck, or do we rebuild the house? What do we do? My parents experienced that twice. Their house burned down. As I watched my parents handle those very difficult situations, it was a blessing to me how they responded. And again, if the children are old enough, get their input. To me, it's a perfect opportunity as you hear their input about how to fix the situation. Oftentimes, they'll come up with suggestions, and you might say, well, you know, that's a good suggestion, but we tried that five times already and it didn't work. But maybe the third, sixth time it will work. But discuss it, talk about it. It's a time for children to learn the experience and history of their of someone older than them. And fathers, if we don't pass down experience, trying to experience it, our children are going to come the same way we did. They're going to learn the same mistakes we did. They're going to end up the same place we did. But if they can learn from us, then they can go much further than we did ourselves. That's my prayer. Then what does God's word say about it? What does God's word say about the situation here? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. How will he direct our path? Through the scriptures. We look at the scriptures. How would the scriptures tell us to deal with this situation? James says, if any man, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. See, again, if we don't really believe the word of God works, we're not going to try it. We have to have faith and believe that the word of God is the blueprint and does work before we can do it. One more quickly here before we go to point number four. Teach them how to observe history, to listen, look, watch, ask questions. Am I determined to have my own way, or can I learn from others' mistakes? I'm just going to share this briefly here. I want to be careful how I do this because this could sound negative. My wife and I had the blessing to go to Iowa to a funeral. And so her roots are in Iowa, and she knows a lot of people in Iowa, so I had lots of questions. We talked about different families that were part of the church when she was there 50 years ago. And where their families are today, where their children are today. And almost invariably, I think it was probably 95 to 100%, is when I would ask about this certain family, I said, where are their children? They're all out in the world. How were the parents? Well, they were parents that were always giving trouble in church, always kind of, they wouldn't cooperate. They were always trying to give the ministers hassle. And almost invariably, every family that was doing that, their children were all out in the world. Divorced and remarried, cut hair, and the whole nine yards. Can we look at history? Is that where we want our children to be? Do we want our children to follow God's way, follow his principles? Or do we want them to be end up out in the world? One 80-year-old lady was there with jewelry and cut hair and looked pitiful. Darlene talked to her and remembered her as a faithful mother in the church. And she said, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. I'm 80 years old here, and I'm ready to go. And she looked a mess. Now, I'm not a judge, but according to Scripture, she was not ready to go. Point number four, I will dwell in them. I love that. I will dwell in them. This morning, our children are in an earthen vessel. And Thessalonians says, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We need to realize that we are in a human body. We're prone to make mistakes. We're prone to fail. We're prone to go the wrong way. We need God within us. We need God to dwell within us and to empower us. Two more circles. One circle is here. Here we have a dead spirit. When the Spirit of God is not living within us, the soul and the body are dead. They're powerless. They cannot overcome sin. They cannot live victoriously. They cannot produce. Then we have the circle that we want. Here we have the spirit that's alive. The Holy Spirit living within us. And that Holy Spirit radiates out, empowers our soul, and our soul empowers our body. And we can live victoriously, we can live godly, and we can be the Father that we should be because we have the Spirit, a living Spirit, the mighty power of God living within us and empowering us and motivating us and helping and guiding us and directing our paths and helping us to be the Father that we should be. Fathers, we can't do it without the Spirit of God within us. If we want to have godly homes and godly children and godly heritage, we must have the Holy Spirit within us. We must be humble and submissive and allow Him to lead and direct our lives. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are the Bible that the church is reading, or the world is reading. The Christian family is a tremendous living illustration of God's Word lived out. And as fathers, if we are responsible for how our families are, how our families turn out, and how our families, what's betrayed from our family, we're responsible for that. And if we're failing, let's get on our knees and ask God to forgive us and plead to God for help. Or let's go and ask others for help. I did that many, many times. I would go to older people, parents than me, and said, how do you deal with this? How do you work through this? I'm frustrated. What do I do? But we have to be willing to change, willing to yield ourselves over to the Spirit of God. And again, we have no monopoly. We can't say if we do thus and thus, our children will turn out thus and thus. But we do have a responsibility as fathers to have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. There needs to be a fire burning in our hearts, and there needs to be a love for God's Word. And we don't tell our children we're on fire for God. They need to see it by our testimony and by our attitudes and by our meekness and our gentleness and our humility, our submission. Fathers, God has entrusted us a God-sized project into our hand. That's our family. And it's only by the grace of God that we can fulfill such a task. As fathers, may we daily come to God and ask for His enabling power to be the example of fatherhood to our precious, precious children. God bless you, young fathers, older fathers that are here today. Don't lose the vision. Don't give up. Don't be fathers of faith, fathers that believe the Word of God and are willing to obey the Word of God, willing to teach the Word of God, and who draw clear lines of right and wrong in your home, so you can build on God's foundation, and that the Spirit of God that was within you may be alive, may it radiate, may it empower you to be the father that you should be. And may your children experience that radiant power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.